Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I don't think I've ever felt like this before in my life where I'm so jacked up about the team and what happened last night and I'm fist pumping in the house. But then I think about what's coming next and I'm like, well, it's going to end now. So I'm going to enjoy this for a little bit and then they're going to go right to a blender in Boston. But today's a feel-good Friday. What a shot. What a guy. What a player. Jalen Brunson. Good morning, Boomer. How are you?
Yeah, man. It was awesome last night. I'm right there with you. I'm right there with everybody else out there who's a Knicks fan watching Jalen Brunson do what he did. And here's the one thing I will say. Karl Anthony Towns, 6 fouls, 10 points. Oh my God. Yeah, this is one of the reasons why Jalen Brunson has to take the ball at the end of the game. And it also highlights the fact that Tibbs didn't get him into the game in the previous game at home. Because when he's not on the court, everybody's standing around and nobody's doing anything. Mm. He is, the fourth highest paid or third highest paid on this team? He should be the highest paid by far because he does the most work. He is the smallest guy on the court other than Deuce McBride. He takes a number of hits. He goes down a lot. He spends a lot of time actually on the court laying down. But it was amazing. His final shot was amazing. I texted you at halftime. I'm like, how in the hell are the Knicks down at halftime after that first half?
Yeah, I mean, and they had a 15-point lead that they just choked away. Defensively, they were terrible. They gave up 61 points in the first half to a Pistons team that's not known for their offense. It was really disconcerting. I mean, and then the way they played in the fourth quarter was even worse than how they played in the second quarter. I mean, at one point, the disparity was like 25-4 in the fourth quarter until Jalen Brunson decided, all right, enough is enough. And, you know, he has that thing. Like, the Pistons, I know that all these games are close, but, you know, they've had a number of opportunities late in these games where they haven't had the big shot, the big moment, and Jalen Brunson is clutch. He just is, and this is why he's dribbling around all the time at the end of games, because more often than not, he's pulling something off like that.
You know, looking at the postseason statistics, I mean, the Knicks, Pistons, and Boston Celtics, believe it or not, are very, very close to each other in attempted threes, made threes, and three-point percentage, okay? So they're almost all right there.
Yeah.
So they're all right around 31 attempts. They're all about the Knicks are actually 37% make. The Celtics are 38% make. They make one more three than the Knicks do. But here's the difference between the Pistons and the Celtics. When they need to have a shot to be made, they have it made. It doesn't get bricked or... Right. You know, they have five guys on the court that can score, and they spread the floor, and they have some incredible shooters that, you know, that if they're on, you know, the Knicks are going to have to be more than what they were last night. It can't just be a one-man show. And I, you know, there are a couple guys that played really good games last night.
Mikal Bridges, we've been all over him, and rightfully so. Mikal Bridges, his best game as a Knick, considering how big of a game it was. I mean, that tip-in.
I think he had one three-point play, but three-point shot.
This tip-in here.
That was great.
That was critical with 35 seconds to go, where he finds himself in the perfect position, maximum effort. I mean, that was a huge, huge play. And then that big left-handed dunk that he had, that really helped the momentum turn for them at that point in the game. So he was awesome. He was great. And if you're going to get that Mikal Bridges against the Celtics, that's a huge boost. But I mean, I don't want to be too negative today. I really don't.
No, there's nothing to be negative about.
Well, there is. It's Karl Anthony Towns you could be negative about.
Well, he had a bad game last night. And he fouled out again. And I don't necessarily know that the that the Boston Celtics are going to play him this way. Like, this is not, the Celtics aren't the Pistons. The Pistons mucked this whole thing up. It was physical. It was, you know, guys hanging off of each other, guys undercutting each other. The Celtics don't play that way.
No, they don't. And maybe the physical nature of what they had to deal with, the Knicks, in the first series against the Pistons will give them a physical advantage in this series. It's possible, but you know, the difference is simple between the Pistons and the Celtics. You're talking about a team in Detroit that has a veteran presence, sure, but they're an up-and-coming young team who's just learning at this phase what playoff basketball is about, and now you got the defending world champs.
Well, so here we are. So you're in this second round, and you're starting now. You're playing the real teams in the NBA, and this is where the Knicks have had problems, but I have to say, and I don't want to minimize what happened last night and the fact that they won three games in Detroit, and the way that when Brunson is on the court, he does and has to do so much. I mean, it's got to be exhausting for him.
Oh, yeah.
Physically exhausting, mentally exhausting, knowing that everybody on that team expects him to do something with the ball. And he's got this little fadeaway jumper. He's got these three-point shots that are ridiculous at times. And they're going to need that, and they're going to need something from everyone in this next series. And, you know, it's great that they're here now. This is where they're supposed to be.
Yeah.
And they are built to be able to go up at least against the Celtics and give them a run. And the question is will they be able to do that? And the good news is that they don't start until Monday. So they got 3 days off. They'll practice. They'll look at videotape. They'll get their treatments. And hopefully when they get to Boston come Monday night, that they will be healthy and they will feel good about what they just accomplished, and there'll be a little bit of juice in their step. And they're just going to, in order to win this, you know, these seven-game series, almost always go to the best team. It's not like a five-game series. It's not a one and done.
You know, especially in the NBA.
Until you get to a game seven, then maybe something's different. But you normally, in a seven-game series in the NBA, the better team comes out on top. So that means, I don't know what FanDuel has the Knicks.
I mean, they're a massive underdog.
So the reality is that even with the changes that were made, and even with the fact that they are healthy going into this series against the Celtics, they're going to be massive underdogs. But that doesn't take anything away from what Jalen Brunson did last night.
No, I mean that shot is up there as one of the more memorable ones since in my lifetime, since I've been alive as a Knicks fan. I mean, that's definitely going to go up there. To close out a playoff series, I mean, the Allen Houston, you know, the around the rim, going to the basket against the Miami Heat, obviously, I mean, the LJ four-point play is elevated.
John Starks dunk.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be in that, it's in that conversation because it closed out a playoff series and they came back in the fourth quarter with an 11-1 run and that crossover was unbelievable. I mean, it's just one of those shots.
That's a great crossover. That move is ridiculous.
I mean,
you want to talk about breaking your opponent's ankles.
I mean, and it's like he is.
Watch this.
Oh, my God. And then at that point in the game, where your legs have to be jello, and he's got a bad ankle, to be able to stop on a dime like that in that critical situation and drain that three, God, I mean, that is what you want from an athlete in any sport, is the ability to make that shot, have confidence in that shot, have the team have confidence in you to make that shot. It was just incredible.
Look at his fourth quarter output. And, you know, in game five, he got stuck on the sideline and Tom Thibodeau didn't use his timeout.
Which looks even dumber today, doesn't it?
It does. It does. There's no question about it. And I thought Tibbs used his timeouts right last night. He tried to stem some of the momentum that Detroit had. You know, again, he's only the other thing, too, that is alarming, and the Pistons actually employed some of this. I don't necessarily know that the Celtics have to do this, but you know this hack of
Mitch
Robinson is woof.
Yeah, but I mean they had guys in foul trouble because of that. I mean, the Celtics aren't going to do that. No, they're not going
to
do that.
Unless it's late in the game and he happens to be on the court and the game is tight. That's when they may do it. That's when I would do it. It's an obvious way of getting the ball back.
Yeah, of course. I mean, and Tibbs has got to be conscious of that. But so you wanted the odds. So the Celtics are -1,000, meaning that if you want to win $100 on the Celtics winning the series, you have to bet $1,000 to win $100. And the Knicks are +660. Shout out WFAN +660. So if you put $100 on it, you would win $660. That's how much of an underdog.
We're in a conundrum. I don't know whether to sit here and celebrate last night's win and, you know, throw all the petals of flowers at Jalen Brunson because it was an amazing shot and it was an amazing, just like, heavy performance. I mean, even with them playing defense the way that the Pistons were playing defense and how they were trying to harass him, three quarters of the court up, and, you know, the Knicks have got to set the pick so he can get away from these guys. Think about just the amount of attention that they were paying to him and everything that he had to do. And still, with all of that going on, he was able to drop 40.
Yeah, I mean, and as far as you don't know how to feel, it's the exact same way. Like, I was really excited that he hit that shot. I thought that it was awesome, and I won't forget that. We won't forget that. But I just thinking about my fandom, this is the most unique situation I've ever been in. And I was going through all sorts of big wins and feeling good about things. And then I was like, is there a time where one of my teams won a playoff series? And then I thought that they were going to be completely dead the next series, to the point where I was like, I don't even know how much I could celebrate this. Now, it's the way that this one ended and the way that they built this team. Like, back in the Carmelo years, like, I never, ever thought at any point that they were going to get past the Miami Heat. Coming into this season, I thought that this Knicks team would be able to beat the Boston Celtics or the Cleveland Cavaliers, but the way that the season has gone, now I don't feel that way any longer. But, like, football and baseball, if you get on that run, you think football, it's one game. We could knock somebody off. We've seen wildcard teams do it all the time. Baseball, the Mets get on this incredible run at the end of last year. They beat the Philadelphia Phillies. You know, they are playing the LA Dodgers. You think there's some way they could pull it off. In this series, after that shot, in that moment, we, like, once you're done with it, you're like, oh, okay, well, now they're going to get whacked.